Praise God. Well, it's good to be in church this morning, isn't it? Hallelujah. Before we get into the Word, let's go ahead and let's pray and believe God for utterance. Make sure that He gets said what needs to be said. Father, we love You this morning. So glad to be in church. So excited to be here. Father, You have a plan for this service. And Lord, we love You this morning. We're just so thankful and so grateful to be able to be in Your presence, to be in church this morning. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to hear the Word of God. Lord, hit bullseyes in people's hearts today. What I mean by that is, say something through me that people need to hear, Father, that will be pertinent to their lives and help them go forward. And Father, we'll give You the praise for the utterance. We'll give You the glory for the utterance. It's all because of You, Lord. It's not because of a man. It's not because of a woman. It's not because of the name on the church sign. It's all because of Jesus. And so we glorify and magnify Him this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, Lord has been dealing with me the last few days to bring this message to the congregation. Of course, I seek God on what to share. And, you know, the goal of today, which is like the goal in a lot of our services, is obviously to encourage you, to strengthen you, maybe to inform us of some things, to enlighten us, but ultimately give us something so we can leave and go out of here and be victorious and be successful. Amen. We're not just playing church. We're not here to just open Reader's Digest and give you 3 points in a poem and call it a day. No, we want to hear from heaven and what God has said. And so let's start this morning in Isaiah 55 in verse 8. And it'll set the stage for where we're going. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. It says this. Now remember, this is God talking to Isaiah the prophet. The prophets in the Old Testament were the mouthpiece of God. So God is saying to Isaiah to relay to us, says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and so are my thoughts than your thoughts." So God is saying, I don't think like man. My thought process is not the way man thinks. And I say man, I mean man and women, mankind. He said, my ways are not like mankind. He said, they're higher, they're better than the ways that man can think. Hallelujah. Well, God's ways and God's thoughts, so many people say, God is so mysterious. No, He's not. He has clearly revealed Himself in His Word. He has clearly revealed His attributes, His characteristics, what He thinks about certain things, what He wants for certain people, what He has provided for you at Calvary. It's not hide and seek with God. It's show and tell. It is. You can find out exactly who He is in the Word and what He wants for you. And our job as believers is not to go around and carry what we think to be right, what we think is the right way, and what we think is the right direction. Our job as believers is to renew our mind to God's thoughts and God's ways. The Word says in Romans 12, it says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is that? Renewing your mind, the way you think, to the way God thinks, which is in His Word. That's our job, to do that. And as believers, the Word of God is our standard. The Word of God has always been God's standard. And let me just say this. His Word does not change. It's been the same for 2,000 years, and it'll be the same for another 2,000 years, because His Word is Him. And the Bible says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God doesn't change. God's standards of things don't change. And let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen. God's Word is the highest law in the land. Not the Supreme Court. Not the local government. Not anything else. The Word of God is the highest law in the land. It is the standard for which Christians are to believe. It is the standard for which Christians are to live. It's where we get our direction. It's where we get our marching orders. It's what we support, and it's what we believe in. Amen? The danger comes in is when we get our desires, our interests, and our thoughts and muddy it with God's thoughts. That's dangerous. I don't want what God doesn't want. I don't want what God's not for. I want to be for what God's for. I want to be in support and backing up the things that God is for. And of course, some of you might know where we're going today. But in light, and this is important to share, and you might think, oh, this is going to be a political message. No, it's not. You're going to leave here changed. You will. Watch. You know, it's important when you come to service, no matter what the minister is going to be sharing, and say, Lord, I'm going to get something today. I promise you, He'll give you something. It's not going to be a political message today. Today's not going to be a message of bashing, condemning, and finger-pointing. Today's going to be a message of exalting the Word of God in our lives and in our midst. Amen? Praise God. And we're just going to look at the Bible on some things. But in light of the Supreme Court's decision this week that was handed down, that made gay marriage legal in all the states, right? That it's a right for people to be able to do that. We need to find out, what does the Word say about this? What should we as believers be believing? And see, it's so easy in this world and in this the media that we live in to feel pressured, to feel like you're almost crazy for the way you believe because you're in such a minority of how you believe. And so today, I'm going to push back a little bit with the Word of God and exalt the church, because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people making a lot of noise that's trying to silence the church and trying to silence the ways of God, and some of them needs to have a voice in the body of Christ. Again, and let me just say this going forward, our job as Christians is to walk in love. Our job as Christians is to be kind. Our job as Christians is to be merciful. Our job as Christians is to have our arms wide open. But our jobs as Christians is not to call something okay that God doesn't call okay. It's not to be in support of something that God's not in support of. And you cannot support something and be on God's side of the fence without being a hater, without being a bigot, without being something that's prejudiced and racist. You absolutely can, with a spirit of love behind it. Hallelujah. And so we're going to look at some things, but the main reason for this is because our job in this world, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how loud the media is. I don't care what your coworkers are saying. I don't care that our government, our White House is lit up in support. It doesn't matter. Our job is not to conform to the world. Our job is to conform to the ways of God. And it's dangerous when we start conforming to the ways of the world. And a lot of the church people that so-called call themselves Christians are voicing things and saying things that are 180 degrees different from the way their Heavenly Father believes. You say, well, how do you know? The Word spells it out for us. Very clear. But there's so many things in the world, and the main point of this message is to show you, don't be afraid of being in the minority. Don't be afraid of sometimes feeling like you're a voice crying out in the wilderness. You're going to see in the Word that that's just the way it is. It's the way it was way back. It's the way it is now, and it's the way it's going to be going forward, okay? So don't. That's the main encouragement for this message here today. But you know, there's so many things that are pressuring us. Things like gay marriage, things like social issues like abortion, things like how to raise your children, what to do with your money, different things like that. There's such a loud voice on it that is in opposition to the Word of God, and it can make you feel like if you say anything in support of it or if you follow God's ways, that you're crazy and that you're a lunatic and that something's wrong with you. No, nothing's wrong with you. When you follow and stick with the Word of God, you are following in line with the highest of the highest of the highest perfection that there is. Praise God. And the church needs to know that. And again, I say, we need to be in love. We need to be kind and merciful and not judgmental and not being malicious towards people. That's not the spirit of Jesus. That's not the spirit of Jesus. He loves all people, wants everybody to come to the knowledge of God. So going forward, I'm going to show you some things in the Word. I'm going to show you some things in the Word about how the people of God have always been the remnant, have always been in the minority, and how that's just the way it is. And don't you be tempted to stray away from the Word to conform to the world and to ease into peer pressure and things like that. We can't do that. Amen? The world needs us to be holy. The world needs us to be right. Praise God. So we're going to do that. We're going to be that way. You know, just so you know, God's not politically correct. I said God's not politically correct. He's not. And if you're going to try to be a Christian and be politically correct, you're going to have trouble. And again, it's the spirit in which you do things, right? When you talk about things and you're helping people, there's a wrong spirit and there's a right spirit to do things. And if it's coming from a place of love, praise God. You know, I'll just say it this way. If God was for sickness, I'd be shouting the tune of sickness. I would. Sure. If God was for poverty, I'd be shouting the tune of poverty. If God was for gay marriage, I would be shouting the tune of it. Why? Because I want whatever He wants. Right. We have no agendas. At least my agenda is to obey Him and to do what He has said. Hallelujah. Yeah. Now, this whole message is not going to be about homosexuality. What does the Bible say? I encourage you, if you have questions on these issues, which way should we vote, Pastor? You know, you're not Asian, you're not African American, you're not white, you are a Christian first. You are not Swedish, you are not Italian, you are not Polish, you are not German first, you are first and foremost a Christian. And when you vote in things like that, that ought to be at the forefront. I'm voting as a Christian, not a Democrat, not a Republican, not an Independent. Amen? We're Christians. Our law is right here. We abide by what this says. We do what this says. And I'll tell you, there is such pushback against the Word of God. I mean, they've pushed it out of schools. They're just pushing it out of the world. And I'll tell you what, nations that have done that have not fared well. And you look in the Word, nations that have pushed God out, when I look at some of those, didn't fare well. And we need to, as a church, be on top of these things. Amen. You know, this message is not going to be about homosexuality and what all the Bible says, but I encourage you, Pastor, what do those things say? I just want you to know, God is not hiding behind a veil with it. It's blatantly clear in the Bible. I'll show you a verse in a second. But these issues that people, even Christians, have stood up and supported and said, I'm born again, they have no idea that they are absolutely going against their Heavenly Father. And I want to show you in the Word real quick, just to kind of help you, because this was the subject of the week. Go with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 27. Romans chapter 1 and verse 27. Now last night I had someone in Olean take me up on this offer and say, Pastor, I sure would like to sit down. And I gave them 6 to 8 verses that I just, off the top of my head, where the Lord is clearly, let me just say this, folks. Marriage in the Bible, God's definition of marriage is between one man and one woman. That's not what I think. That's not what I want. I want what God wants. That's how He intended it to be. Praise God. Say, well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know. Don't let your thoughts and your emotions get in your way. What does the Bible say? And just so you know, we need to just make this clear. Homosexuality is a sin in the Bible, is just as bad as heterosexual sin. Just so everybody knows that. Like, we're not putting something on a pedestal, we're putting sin on a pedestal. Not the sinner. We love the sinner, we hate the sin. Amen? It's important to know that it's not just, we're exalting the Word in this day today. We're exalting the Word in everything. But I want to just show you real quick, if you're wondering, what does God even think about homosexuality? Well, look in Romans chapter 1 and verse 27. And you tell me if God's clear. Now, this is just one witness. It says, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, God calls it lust, number one, one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly. Now pull that up in the Amplified, Heather. The Amplified just brings out the original meaning in the Greek. Let's find out what God thinks about this. And the men also turned from the natural relations with women and were set ablaze, burning out, consumed with lust for one for another. Men committing, now here's that word where I said, what was that word that I just used that I was telling you about? Unseemly. Men committing shameful acts. God calls it this. Pastor Mike didn't. Remember, if you can't read, I will help you. I don't mean that funny, I mean serious. That says Romans. It does not say Mike Anderson. It does not say Family Church's doctrine. It does not say conservative. It does not say far-right wacko. No, it doesn't say that. It says Romans. Paul's letter to the Roman Church, inspired by the Holy Ghost. God calls that relationship, man to man, woman to woman, shameful. With men and suffering, they suffering in their own bodies and personalities, the inevitable consequences of what? Sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. In penalty of their wrongdoing and going astray, which was their fitting retribution or payback. That's just one place. If you want more, again, in another setting, we're not here to get on a pedestal about that. I'm here to magnify the word. That your job as a believer is not to feel isolated. It's not to be convinced when you have children or have children in the way you raise them according to the word that you're nuts, because everybody else in your schools and parents will say you're crazy the way you raise your children. You're crazy the things you do with your children. You're crazy for what you do with your money. I had a lady from the Orion Church last night tell me about persecution she has in her family. Her daughter said, "You actually give 10% of everything you make?" She said, "Absolutely I do. People think you're nuts for what you do with your money." Obeying God, though. You're obeying God, though. Hallelujah. And they'll say you're crazy for some of the social issues and the way you believe. But we're not crazy. We're aligned with God, the Word. But the Lord calls it shameful. That's just one place. Hallelujah. Go with me to 1 Timothy 2 and verse 1. So if you're wondering, is God for what happened this week? He's not. He's not at all. In fact, I'll tell you what. This next verse is what I'm really trying to urge and implore people to do. Because you don't understand by what this passing the danger that this could cause. Are they going to start coming into the churches now and tell me that I can't preach the Word of God or I'll end up in jail? Are they going to start telling us that we're forced to do things that are against what the Word of God says? And I'll tell you what, if the church doesn't wake up, the church is meant to change the world. And if we don't wake up and start praying about things and start praying for our nation, I'll tell you what, all this is an assault on the Word. What's the Word? God's ways. God from the beginning had set up. He said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife." For this reason, marriage between them, God has always defined it between a man and a woman. And you can't let the media, you can't let the world get in and muddy your thinking where you start going along the world, because any step outside of God's will and any step outside of God's plan is a step into the devil's, and which brings wrong consequences. It just does. It just does. You know, we're going to bring this up in a little bit. You know, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed because of their sin. God didn't just want to destroy it. That city was destroyed because God tried to spare that city, which I'll show you. But if you go back and study, even in the Word brings it out clearly, one of the main things that ran rampant in that city was homosexuality. That's not my opinion. That's historical, not even in the Bible, but historical facts that is the truth in that culture, in that city. And it ended up, what? The penalties of it. The wages of it. Any step outside of God's ways always brings negative on a national level, on a local level, on a personal and family level. So my encouragement today is let's do it God's way in everything. Amen? Well, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. And again, this isn't a political message bashing a certain group. No, we're just encouraging you to do the Word. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "Now we beseech you..." That's not the right verse. There it is. "I exhort therefore that first of all..." Now this is Paul talking to a church, or talking to Timothy, a pastor, who's pastor of a church. He says, "I exhort there first of all that supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men." Now he goes on to tell us who. "For kings and for all that are in authority." Now notice the reason. Now when he says kings and all in authority, we don't have a king, but we have a president, and we have elected officials that stand in offices, heads of state, congressmen, things like that. We have people that are in charge of our country. And he's saying, for kings and for all that are in authority. Why does he want us to pray for our people in authority and for our nation? Look at the result of doing that. That we, Christians, would lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So you take away the prayer for the authority in the government, and then that quiet and peaceable life becomes at risk. That quiet and peaceable life, in all honesty, becomes attacked and it becomes at stake for us. So we as a church need to pray for this country. That this country would be a godly country. That people would be raised up. That the people that would be raised up have godly hearts. That people that will not do God's ways will be removed. That people that will not do God's ways will be taken out of office, and people will be set in. Those that will do the plan of God. Those that will help the plan of God.
Hallelujah.
That's what we need to be praying for. Hallelujah. And so we need to make sure that we're doing that, or our peaceful life, in quiet in all honesty, is going to be at risk. And look what it says in verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's good and acceptable that we pray for the country. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So I'm going to show you today and encourage you. Because let me tell you something. When it comes to your money, it's you better do it God's way. Yeah. As the world gets darker and the economy gets in all the uncertainty, you better make sure your money is protected in God's way. I'm not worried about gas prices. I'm not worried of wars and rumors of wars and a fluctuating economy, because my money is not in the world system. My money has been given over, handed over to God, and God's economy is blessing 24/7, 365. Doesn't matter. See, the problem is when you start doing things your own way and don't do it God's way, then you have to watch out. I'm just telling you the truth. It's the truth. When it comes to raising your children, you want your children? The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. The Word says that. Train them in the Word. Have them in church. Have them in the Word. Have them hearing the Word of God. And when they are older, they will not depart. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what the Word says. When it comes to these family and love and marriage, you better do it God's way if you want success. But I'm going to tell you, I'd encourage you, and you know this to be true, you are in the minority. In the media, you are in the minority. You are. Have you ever felt like, holy cow, I must be nuts. I mean, everybody else is going this way, and the majority is going this way, and I'm over here. It seems like I'm alone, and I'm just... No, I'm going to show you in the Word, that's normal. Amen? Real quick, we're going to look at some things. Genesis 6 and verse 5. Genesis 6 and verse 5. Praise God. I'm not going to call something right that God calls wrong. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to stand up and shout my support for something that God calls an abomination. In anything. I don't just mean the topic that we brought up. I mean in anything. I'm not going to do it. Praise God. I'm going to call what's right, right. What's wrong, wrong. Yeah, I'll say that. It seems like in this day and age you can call yourself anything you want. Oh, yeah. You can call yourself anything you want now in this day and age, no matter what God's ideas of it are. Yeah, you can. You've seen different stories and different things. I mean, you watch, it'll get worse and worse, too. Yeah. Just wait till the person comes out and says, I'm a dog. It'll happen. And they'll fight to be like a dog. You watch, it'll happen. They'll say, I'm an animal. You know, I'm telling you, mark my words, how good did you tell me that would happen? Maybe you've already heard of it, I don't know, but it'll happen. I'm a cat, yeah. Just call yourself whatever you want. No, God has a purpose and a plan. Don't let the devil that's mixed things up and gotten things all crazy. Genesis 6 and verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great. And the Lord talks about in the days of Noah, and how these end days are like the days of Noah. And I'll tell you what, the wickedness in the world is growing and growing and growing and growing. It is. Yeah. And the Bible says in the days of Noah that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What happened to that generation? They got destroyed, didn't they? See, now you have to understand in the light, we don't interpret the Bible by the Old Testament, we interpret it by the New Testament. God is not the destroyer. Right. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God's the same yesterday and today and forever. But their sin brought upon judgment and caused God to have to remove his hand, and the world was destroyed. You know how many people were saved in that whole world, that whole generation? 8. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. 8 people living righteous. 8 people living holy out of a whole generation. Out of a whole world, 8 people. Do you think Noah ever felt secluded? Do you think Noah ever felt like, as he's building that ark, and it never rained like that? And he's building, people are calling him crazy. And he's a man of righteousness, the Bible says. A preacher of righteousness. Do you think that people thought he was nuts? You better believe it. But you know what? He didn't care. God told me to build this ark. God told me to build this ark. And you know what? He was probably thinking in the back of his mind, and you're going to wish on your lucky stars you'd have built one too. See, when you're doing the right way, you don't have to justify it. Just live right. Who cares about the gawkers and the scoffers and all? Who cares? Amen. You're going to be in the minority. Believe in the way that God, because the media don't believe it. TV shows, Hollywood, things that are important in this country are all pushing against God's ways.
Yeah.
It's true. In Noah's generation, 8 people were spared, 8 righteous people out of the whole world. 8. We won't turn there, but study the story of in Genesis 18 and 19 when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. The wickedness in that city was wicked. And remember, Abraham was pleading with God. He said, Lord, God told Abraham that it's going to be destroyed. And God told Abraham, Lord, if we can find 50 people who are righteous, will you spare? And he said, absolutely. And he went all the way down. Because if there was some bit of holiness there, God could have said, okay, I can keep my hedge up. Remember God with the hedge with Job? God built Job's hedge. Job tore it down with his wrong. And then Satan was able to get in. And God's saying, if I can find some people that are righteous, I can still keep the hedge up and keep the enemy away. And it got all the way down. And then he went and looked for 50 people, couldn't find them. Went and looked for 40 people, couldn't find them. Went and looked for 30 people, couldn't find them. Went and looked for 20 people, couldn't find them. And Abraham said, Lord, if I can find 10 people that will do it your way, will you spare this place? And God says, you better believe I will. Why? Because God's heart is always to spare and help and to lift up. And they couldn't find 10 people that were doing it God's way. So you think about Abraham and how alone he must have felt and how isolated. Matthew 6:33, Heather, will you please pull that up? Hallelujah. Matthew 6:33. See, that's why I'm hard on sin in the sense of I don't beat you over the head, but to tell you, you need to get it out of your life. Because all it's doing is opening the door to the enemy, and I love you so much, I want you to close that door. Because sin is a step into the devil's territory. It's not because you're a bad person. It's not because you're awful. It's not because, listen, I came to church and came to God as an alcoholic, a drug user, someone who had a severe gambling addiction, wrong living, super depressed, and God said, I love you so much. It's because sin causes wrong things to happen in your life. God loves you and is merciful. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But notice what it goes on to say. And his righteousness. You know what his righteousness is? His way of being right. Seek first the kingdom of God and his way of being right. Your job is not to be politically correct. Your job is not to fit in around the water cooler. Your job is not to conform and to give in to peer pressure. Your job is first and foremost to seek God's ways of doing and being right. His standards in life. Why? And then all these things will be added to you. It'll just be a life of addition. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So here we see Genesis, Noah alone. Abraham alone. Couldn't find any righteous people. Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about even in a group of people who were God's people. The children of Israel were a congregation of 2 million people. That God told them to go a certain way, right? God gave them instructions. He said, the promised land is where I'll have you. And notice that 2 out of 2 million chose to do it God's way. Even in the body of Christ, I'll tell you, I am just ashamed at times. Some of the things that Christians voice their support for, some of the way Christians live their lives, some of the things the way Christians talk, they are a terrible billboard for the righteousness of God. Absolutely, it's true. Not to be condemned, it's just the truth. The way they live, the places they go, the things they do. Ask, when you go to do something, and you go to watch something, or go, maybe it could be a job, could be what you do with your money, where you go, ask yourself, would it be okay if I saw my pastor doing this? I guarantee a lot of that stuff you'd say, no. Well, if it's not okay for me, why would it be okay for you? Say, well, you're a pastor. No, you all ought to shoot for high standards. Say, are you perfect? Pastor, no, that's not what I mean. I'm repenting almost daily for things, but I'm shooting for the standard. Would you be okay seeing Jesus there? Would you be okay seeing Jesus do that? That's the standard that we shoot for. And I know I say that, and even the thoughts in my head, the devil just tries to make you sound like you're crazy, but if I were to truly preach a message on righteousness and holiness, oh God, it would be silent in this place. God's standard of righteousness and holiness. Not the world's, and I'll mix a little bit of the world in with the church and mix a little bit of this. Now again, we all have stuff. Let me just say that real quick. Nobody in here is perfect. If you think you are, come up here and we'll cast that lying devil right out of you. Nobody's perfect. We all have our stuff. We all have our problems. We all have our sin. We all have our issues we're working on, but we better be working on them. Working what? To get them out of our lives. Yeah. Amen. It's the truth. Glory to God. It's the truth. Why? Because His standard's highest. His standard's the one that brings you the most blessing. Now, if you're sitting there taking condemnation, you've taken the wrong approach. Because I'm telling you, your God's merciful, and He loves you and cares about you. And He's not beating you over the head about your sin, and neither am I. Any one of you that have come to me and say you're struggling, I'll say, oh, you dirty sinner. You guys say, okay, let's get help for this thing. Let's work on this thing. Amen? That's the way to do it, praise the Lord. But even in Christianity, even the people of God, 2 million people said, I don't want to do it God's way, and only Caleb and Joshua. Yeah. It's sad when you look around the body of Christ and see the body of Christ acting, talking, supporting things the world supports. It's not, it shouldn't be that way. Right. We're the salt of the earth, right? Yes. We can't lose our saltiness. We're the light of the world. We can't put a basket over us, right, and cover us up. Praise God. Go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Talking about being the minority, don't let that be a shock to you. Don't let yourself think you're crazy. You stick with the Bible. You stick with God's Word, you'll be okay. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, the people that need to be afraid are the ones that don't go God's way. There's no protection that way. That don't be thankful that we're shouting this righteousness from the rooftops. We're trying to keep you protected and safe. Matthew chapter 7. Oh, you're trying to just get us afraid. Afraid what? From giving up sin? You better believe it. I'm trying to scare you into righteousness. You better believe it. Why? Because it's dangerous outside of God's kingdom. Yeah. Matthew 7 and verse 13. I want to show you this. Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, is what it says, saying that it's straight and narrow is the gate where few find, but wide and broad is the gate that leads to destruction, and many people find that gate. What's he saying? More people are going to go down the path of destruction than are going to go the right way in righteousness of God. Don't let it alarm you. I was looking up, it was recently in 2013, a rough idea, a rough statistic, says that the world's population is 30% Christian. Okay, now, I know of Christians that profess to be Christians, but are not Christian because they've never accepted Jesus. They might go to church, or they might live a good life, and sometimes people associate with that with Christianity. That's not Christianity. Christianity is making Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. So I can say personally, I know a lot of people that just are living good lives and maybe go to church every once in a while. If you would ask them, do you believe you're Christian? They'd say, oh yeah. So the statistic's even high, but even if all 30% were true born-again believers, that means 70% of the world believes opposite of what you believe. Yeah. That means the world you're living in, you're going to be surrounded and be in the minority. Right. Jesus said, only a few, the narrow, right? But broad and many find the way of destruction. So don't be alarmed when you believe in the Word of God and the way you're raising your family, what you're doing with your money and your belief system, and you look like you're crazy and it looks like you stand out like a sore thumb. That's the way it is. Amen. That's the way it is.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Think about even in the church of people that hear the Word of God. What did Jesus say? The parable of the sower. He said 75% of people that hear the Word won't get anything out of it. Won't have any fruit, won't do anything with it. But Jesus said there's one-fourth that will hear the Word. Now, if you're hearing the Word, that tells me that you're in a position either in church or around the things of God. Sure. So how are we even talking about that 70% of the world isn't born again? But what about even in the church? Even in the church, only 25% are good fruit. Yeah. That will believe the way God, go the way God, speak the way God speaks, do what God does. Even in the church! Yeah. So you might even find isolation and wilderness in the church setting. I don't mean just this, but I mean in the body of Christ. The way you believe in your standards. I know people who are pastoring churches that have homosexual people leading their worship team. I know this in this area. I don't mean in South Bay, but in this area. Putting people in leadership. I know it. I'm telling you. In the body that call themselves Christians and are all excited about this. I'll tell you, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. John 6. Praise God. And then we're gonna close after this verse with some help for you. Say, Pastor, you're just against people that are gay. No, I love everybody. I mean, I love everybody. I'm serious when I say that, but I don't love everything everybody does. Not, I want to help every single person and tell people the right way and do things God's way because I care about people. I'm not against anything. This ain't an agenda against anybody at all. It's just in light of what happened this week. It's kind of at the forefront. And I'll tell you what, when they make a bold stand like that and attack something that God's instituted years and years and years ago, so the church, why is it not okay for the church to say something? That's why I love the head of the Baptist. Did you see what he said? The head of the whole Baptist denomination. He said, I don't care what the government says. God calls it wrong. We're calling it wrong. And I said, praise the Lord. Because us, the Pentecostals and people that believe the whole word, sometimes we're just a little quiet. Praise God for someone to stand up and say, I don't care what the law says. I don't care what. And just so you know, I don't care. I will preach righteousness. They can throw me in prison. They can come, you all come visit me and we'll see me in my orange jumpsuit. I've been in one before. It might be fun to try it out again. I don't know. But I'm not going to back down. And don't you back down. You know, the minority can be so, certain people can be so loud and so aggressive and so violent that it just shuts people up. It ain't going to shut me up. It ain't going to shut the church up. Glory to God. It's okay for the church to stand up and say, you know what? Okay, if that's what you're going to do, that's fine. But we're going to believe God and go God's way in everything. Hallelujah. John 6. John 6, look how Jesus felt here about preaching righteousness.
Good word.
John 6 and verse 66. Now Jesus, we don't have time to look there to get you out of here in time. So Jesus just got done preaching a message, preaching righteousness, preaching the word, preaching God's way. That's why I'm singing that song today. Because I thought, well, you know, I've made up my mind, I'm going God's way. I don't care what the world's doing. I don't care what the media's doing. I'm doing it His way. I don't have to stand before a Supreme Court justice. I don't have to stand before my president someday and give account for my life. But I have to stand before God and have Him look at me and say, why would you be for and why would you support things that I am 100% against that only causes wrong and only causes hurt in people's lives? I'm going to stand before Him. He's my judge. You're not. The judges aren't going to God. And it's the same for your own life. John 6 and verse 66. Jesus just got done preaching righteousness, preaching the word. It says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. What? Turned away from the truth. Many, the majority, fell away from the church. Fell away from God, from Jesus. There's no more perfect and righteous person than Him. And they fell away from Him. They chose not to go His way. So don't be surprised in the day and age that we're living in when you set your course to go God's way that sometimes it can feel like a lonely journey. Yeah. Don't get pressured into believing the way the world believes. Yeah. And I love Jesus' response. He just lost most of His church. And He didn't say, okay, I'll change my message.
No.
I've told you, I can think in my head right now over 20 people that were here for over a year that are not with us anymore because of one subject, tithing. That's just 20 people that have left. There's been a lot more people that have come and left. Right. If everybody that was here for at least a year was here, we'd have to have two services.
That's right.
And they left because of tithing. I could change the message and fill the seats.
No.
I could do that. It would fill the seats. I know. We'd have 20 more people. But why would we want to do that?
That's right.
And Jesus didn't say after this, He didn't say, I need to adjust my message. I know I'm right, and I know I'm preaching God's ways, and I know I'm preaching righteousness, but, you know, people don't want to hear it, and people don't want to hear about living right. People don't want to hear about living holy. They don't want to hear about doing what they need to do with their money and about love walk and all these things. So, you know, I need to change the message because I want to make sure that people see that we have a big church and that I'm fitting in. No, that's not what He said.
Yeah.
Go to verse 67, please.
Thank you.
He looked to the 12. He had 12 people left in His church. Thousands followed Him. And hooked up with Him at one point. They said, ooh, this is good. This is great stuff. Things are happening. Things are good. Every single one of those 20, every single one of those 20 at one time came to me and told me that I helped change their life.
Right.
At one time, it was good.
Right.
But the message never changed.
Right.
Jesus didn't change anything. He looks at His church and it's gone. He has 12 left. You know what He says? You going too?
Yeah.
The door's right there. It's unlocked. You want to go too? What's He saying? I'm not changing. We're standing ground here. We're doing it God's way. We're living in a world run by the devil. Of course there's going to be opposition. Of course there's going to be wrong ways to make it seem like it's right. Jesus said, you going too? Praise God. We're not adjusting nothing around here. If you want the Bible and you want someone that will tell you the truth and someone that will tell you God's ways in a loving way, you hook up here. I promise I'm not going anywhere different. I'm not going to change the message and slack off and start to compromise. No way.
Hallelujah.
Your lives are at stake. My lives are at stake. Go to 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, and now we're on that downhill coast to home here. 2 Timothy, so what do we do with this, Pastor Mike? I want to encourage you leaving here today. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. It's after 1 and 2 Thessalonians and after 1 Timothy, obviously. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Now notice this. This is what God's telling the Apostle Paul to tell Timothy. You know, the Bible says all Scripture. Well, we're going to see that in a second. But anyways, verse 12, it says, yea, and all that will live godly. Godly. You know what godly is? God standards.
Sure.
Calling what God calls right, right. Calling what God calls wrong, wrong. That's living godly.
Yeah.
Yea, all that will live godly. All people that sing that song and say, I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Those people that not just sing it, but have made that declaration in their life and have drawn a line in the sand. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know why? Because 70% of the world don't believe like you believe. They think you're crazy.
That's right.
They think you're nuts.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
He said, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. We're seeing that, aren't we?
Yeah.
Deceiving and being deceived. But, okay. Our president, I pray for him. And I don't mean just him as the president. I mean past presidents have been for these issues that God is completely against and says in His Word. But isn't it interesting that when they get sworn into office, what do they put their hand on? Well, then they must say, they must something, the Bible must be something of importance to put your hand on it and swear on it. But see, it's not the book and the makeup and the feel of the pages and the leather. It's the contents of the book. And isn't it hypocritical for our leaders to swear on this because it must be important to do it and then to not follow anything that's in the thing? It's hypocritical. The Lord showed me that one day. I said, my God. They stand up there swearing the Bible. Why? Because the Bible must be important. Must mean something. Well, the thing that it means is not, it's not the leather and the paper and the ribbon. It's the what's inside it. But yet nobody wants to follow what's inside it. It's like people in the media stay up and say, yeah, you know, Jesus is a way to heaven, and Muhammad's a way to heaven, and Buddha's a way to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not what the Word says.
That's right.
The Bible says Jesus is the way.
Yeah.
People profession to be Christians. And there's many ways to heaven. No, there isn't. That's what I'm talking about. The Bible's not politically correct. The Word of God will put you on the outside. But I'm happy to be there.
Amen.
Verse 14, he says, well, verse 13, let's read it. Evil men, seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, now he's encouraging you. He's saying, you're going to be persecuted for doing it God's way, and now, and the outside world's going to get worse and worse. He says, but you continue. Don't quit.
Yeah.
Stand your ground. You continue in the things which you have learned, the Word, and have been assured of, knowing of them, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, the stinking Word of God. Hallelujah. He says, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Hallelujah. And is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, women included, mankind, may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. The only way you're going to be perfect is if you put this to play in your life. You get your thoughts and your emotions and your feelings out of the equation. You say, Lord, whatever you say, I believe it. I'm with you, God. I'm with you. And then go on in chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and kingdom. Now he's charging the young minister. He says, you preach the Word. You do not preach social agendas. You do not preach opinions. You do not preach what the masses are going. You stick with the Bible. If everybody leaves you, you stick with the Bible. John the Baptist was a voice crying in the wilderness. Nobody wanted to hear him. He said, righteousness is coming. He said, repent. Notice, no, that's good, Father. Oh, my loving God gives me, I get goosebumps all over my body. Notice, a preacher of righteousness was all alone because nobody wanted to hear it. He was saying, repent, repent, repent. And nobody wanted to hear it. He was in the wilderness all along. Nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody wanted to hear it. But he says to Timothy, he says, you preach the word. Before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead, his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They can swear on the Bible in our government and then pass laws that go absolutely against everything that the Bible says. Yeah. For the time will come when they will not endure the word of God or sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What am I saying to you? Continue in the word. Continue in the word. Continue in the word. No matter what. And I promise this is the last verse. Matthew 7:24. Matthew 7:24. Say, what's my encouragement going forward? You want your life to be blessed? Do the Word of God. Stick with the Word of God. How do I raise my family? What does the Bible say? What do I do with my money? What does the Bible say? What do I do with my attitudes? What does the Bible say? What do I do with my thoughts? How do I run my business? How do I conduct my marriage? How do I conduct my personal life? What does the Bible say? Do what the Bible says and you will be victorious. You will have success and you will rise to the top. Praise God. You will. Why? Because Matthew 7:24 says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Don't let the devil tell you that when you do the word, it's going to be worse, because God says when you do the word, you'll be all right. That the storms will come, and the pushback will come, but you'll stand strong. But, he says in verse 25, And verse 26, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, you say this way, someone that doesn't go to God's way and doesn't do it the Word's way, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and it beat upon the house and it fell, and great was the fall. See, the devil will tell you, yeah, keep going the Word's way and righteousness way. You'll be an outsider. You'll be persecuted. You'll be a terrible life. That's what the devil wants to tell you. Why? Because he wants to get you to back off so he can destroy you. You say, I'm doing it God's way. I'm sticking my ground. Praise the Lord. We love everybody. And we ought to be lovers of people. But we can't go against what God has said.
That's right.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. We're going the word's way. We love you, Jesus. We glorify you. We magnify you, Lord. We praise you and bless you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Please, nobody looking around. Everybody in this room and on live stream, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Ask yourself right now. Because that's a question that you're going to have to face someday. There will come a day where it'll be your last day here if Jesus doesn't come back. Ask yourself that question. Say, if today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? If the answer isn't 100% heaven, let me help you. It can be. The Bible says to get to heaven is simple. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross, if you believe that he rose again from the dead, the Bible says you are qualified for salvation. You are a candidate for salvation. It has nothing to do with how much or how little you've gone to church. It doesn't matter with how much money or how little money you've put into the offering. It doesn't matter the good or bad things you've done. If those things mattered, then Jesus would not have had to die. If those things mattered, it matters what you do with Jesus. Hallelujah. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you can say, I don't know if I've ever accepted Jesus. My God, don't let another day go by. Don't let another day go by without receiving him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm not going to have you come up front. I won't have you stand up. I'm not going to have you say anything on your own. Nobody's looking around. But if something in your heart says, I need to accept Jesus. I want to go to heaven. I want to experience the goodness of God in my life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you've never accepted Jesus and you want to, would you just slip your hand up in the air and then put it right back down? Anybody at all. You say, how do I know I need to do that? Something on the inside of you saying, raise your hand. Anybody at all want to receive Jesus here this morning that never has done it? Again, just lift your hand in there and put it right back down. We're not going to embarrass you, I promise. Nobody will even know but me. Anybody want to receive Jesus at all before we close? I don't like to rush this because sometimes people are shy. So how do I know I need Jesus? Well, if you've never accepted him, you don't know if you'd go to heaven. I'll tell you, I laid my head down it, man. I know I'm going to heaven. Anybody want to receive him at all? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust we're all born again. If by chance we're not, Lord, it's not the raising of our hands that gets us saved. It's the calling on you, the asking you to come into our heart, the believing of you. So if you didn't raise your hand, but you should have, just when you get alone, just say, Lord, I believe in you. And I believe you died and rose again, and I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now before we leave, this is on my heart. If you need to go, go. But we're going to sing that song one more time. And we are going to declare that we are going God's way. Hallelujah. So let's stand to our feet. We're going to worship Him one more time. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't declare it if you don't mean it.
Right.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Going His way.
His way is best. Hallelujah. Praise God. We glorify you. Let's sing it. I've got my mind.
I've got my mind made up. And I won't turn back. Cause I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up. And I won't turn back, cause I want to see my Jesus someday.
Sing that one more time.
I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, cause I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, cause I want to see my Jesus.
Okay, let's sing on world.
Goodbye world, I say no longer with you. Goodbye pleasures of sin, I say no longer with you. I made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I made up my mind to go God's way.
Well, one more time, goodbye world.
Goodbye world, I stay no longer with you. Goodbye pleasures of sin, I stay no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life.
Come on, sing it loud.
I made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life.
Father, we're going your way. We choose you. We love you. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget Wednesday night, 6:30. You are dismissed.